each one of you out for the services tonight. Let's just turn in our scriptures and read again the scriptures we read on our last lesson that we taught here. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 12 and 13, and then we'll read from Exodus, the 14th chapter, verse 13 and 14. These are the scriptures we read on our last sermon. I thought I'd just finish that up, but I want us to get a point from it. And I'm afraid if I leave it there, then it might leave a gap. So I want us to get what we're trying to say on some of these. But now just remember, this will be message number 6 on the third seal. So you can write down on your topic what you... You know, where you'll know what it is. It'll be on the third seal, message number 6. It'll be, the title will be, The Lesson. In other words, Moses would learn a lesson, and we'll see what that lesson is tonight, Lord willing, and that's what we want to title it, The Lesson. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now just remember, there's a temptation, but he says he'll, with the temptation now, something in that, or make a way that we can escape, that we may be, that ye may be able to bear it. Now in Exodus, the 14th chapter, and verse 13 and through 16. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore Christ thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Let's all just pray together. Father, we thank you for your loving grace unto us. We thank you for an opportunity of gathering together, and we pray now that you would just anoint the speaker and anoint the hearers. Bless us together. We thank you for, Lord, giving us a time that we can just sit down and relax in you for a few moments and hear from you. Come now and speak to your people what you'd have to be said. We believe your word. We believe that you are here to back it up. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I hope you enjoyed the message this morning. I really enjoyed Brother Woodley's message. I didn't put a title to it, but I just left mine blank, but I'm sure that you enjoyed it because the Lord was with us and showing us. We've got to see what he's talking about or we'll miss it, and that's what I'm trying to see on a lot of this, that it's just his way of preaching it one way and my way of preaching it another way from another scripture or a source or a title or a form, but you'll see, the Lord willing, tonight what we're trying to get a point across to you, that if you can believe it, then that'll be what we need. Remember the announcements. This coming Friday night, Brother Dick Addison will be having an open invitation to you to come and fellowship with him for a little while and have a sandwich or something and talk and sit around and have a good time in the Lord there at his house. And if anybody needs the directions, check with some of us. It'll be going. We'll know. I mean, we can tell you more about it then. But now, I hope that what we're on has not become a boring thing to you. It hasn't to me, even though I'd like to go on to other things and have sermons already, have one already written on the fourth seal and started out with some notes, but I came across this thought. I want you to see something, or there wouldn't be no need of just preaching, you know, and everything else. I mean, we'd just... Wouldn't be no need of doing that. We just play tapes or whatever. But I want you to see something from the lesson that we're trying to take. And then we'll find tonight that Moses learned a lesson. As I said the other day, what if Moses hadn't failed the test that he was put in? Now, he was put into a test. Brother Branham said, I've bitterly failed that same way. You read Why Christ Speak, you'll find him saying it. I know it's on page 7, and there's two more places in there. I just wrote them off while I was in the back room a while ago. Page 16, he said, I'm speaking about myself. In other words, his own life. Just read the book and you'll see him talking. He said, this is where I've failed at. He said, that's where we failed at. Well, now, what my point was the other week was that if we could see what happened to Moses and see where he failed at, then there would be something there that would help us, because he's the only man that failed in that form. There's not another man that you check your scriptures that say right in the time of duty that he failed the commission like that. You've got Elijah when Jezebel came out there and said, I'll destroy you, and he run and all like that. You've got John the Baptist sitting down there in prison saying, if you be the Messiah, or do we seek another? But still, they never fail like this. There was something there, maybe, I don't know how you'd separate the two, but their failure was not like Moses, because Moses, well, I just say it this way. And maybe for sake of our understanding, what the difference in the two was, that Moses caught his and changed right there. The rest of them maybe never caught theirs right at that moment and changed. Might have took a little while before they changed in theirs, you know. Because Elijah finally did come back out and kill a bunch of more of the prophets and this and that and the other. But see, not right at that moment. But you see Moses failing right in a time of trouble. And then you see God coming right on the scene, rebuking him right there while trouble's going on. And it's kind of like, I thought of this afternoon, and maybe the Lord wants it brought out this way. It's kind of like to me, like, you remember the little girl that Brother Branham went to pray for about the having that disease or what it was that she was dying, you know, and he went to pray for her, and when he got there, she couldn't have faith for healing. It was the appendix ruptured. And she couldn't have faith for it. It's on that message of faith, the substance. And he said, now she ain't got time. Said, if I had time to sit down here with her and go through this with her, he said she could come to a place. You know, she said, if God can heal Georgia Carter, he can heal me. Well, see, he said, you don't have faith. She had just a mental faith. And he said, if I had time to sit down here and go through this with her, said she could come to the place of having faith. But said, you don't have time, told the little girl. He said, you're dying. You don't have time to do that. Well, right in the midst of trouble, you see Moses. Now, anybody would understand if God would have said to Moses, all right, now Moses, just sit down right there. I'm going to teach you a lesson, and it'll take me about 3 months, and the Egyptians are just going to sit out there in the desert and wait. Now, we know that wasn't going to happen. They're fired up and geared up and coming his way as fast as their horses would run to get to the children of Israel to destroy them. There wasn't enough time for that. And Brother Branham says, well, we're to work on them spur-of-the-moment things. You know, do whatever you're led to do on the spur-of-the-moment thing, because you won't be able to sit down and reason it out or figure it out or try to find out what's the best way to do. Sometime when trouble is striking, death coming up your sleeve, you know, you're dying and the doctor puts the instrument on there and pumps it up, said your blood pressure's so low, you can't live. You wouldn't have time then to reason it all out and get it all down and try to figure it out and find out if you sinned somewhere and find out if you've done something wrong here or there, backwards or forth. You're going to have to just stand right there and call for it. And if we can see what Moses, where he learned the lesson at, and what lesson he learned, then maybe we can catch it. See, maybe we then can understand what was going on now, because it's for all of us. As I said now, the other week, if we didn't have Moses there to see it, then we'd just look at the warriors of faith in the Bible and we'd say, well, that was for them. That wasn't for me. Now, if you'll read page 8 and 9 of Why Christ Speak, you'll find Brother Brown speaking of Moses having great faith, said he was born with that gift of faith. You'd say, well, now there's Moses. He is born with a gift of faith. But I wasn't born that way. Now, that ain't what the prophet said. You say, yeah, but he was just a special chosen one. And that's what give him that way. Don't you think you're chosen? Do you think Moses could come down here and take your place? He can't do it, can he? But Brother Branham didn't bring it out that way. He said Moses was born with a great gift of faith. He said every person, I'm quoting it from him, every person, he said, is born with that same gift. He said, it's in there from the foundation of the world. Now watch that later. Moses there from the foundation of the world, that great gift of faith was in him from way back from before the foundation of the world. You see Joshua with that gift in him from the foundation of the world. You see David with that gift in him from the foundation of the world. And you see it coming out over here. That David didn't have time to stop and have a prayer meeting, the prophet said. Joshua, when he needed to, the battle was going on and he got out there and got into trouble, he didn't have time to stop and stand there and wonder was he called, wonder what all of that. He just spoke the word. He didn't have time for a prayer meeting. You know what the prophet said in the Why Christ Speak? He said, speaking of David, I believe, what he said, he didn't have time for a prayer meeting when he went out there to face Goliath. He said he was prayed through before the foundation of the world. Well, then if we can see, the Bible plainly teaches, now this is in the mind of God, not in actuality that we're talking about. David wasn't before the world praying and all this, that, and the other. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the seed singular Christ. Then back before the world, in God's mind, he saw all that would ever happen. Then how are you going to change that? If he saw that happen, how are you going to change that? If he saw David killing Goliath, how would you change that? I wouldn't care if Goliath had been 40 foot tall, he would still kill him. But see, what I'm wanting me and you to see is to not just look at that and say, well, that was for them. That was for them, them's great warriors of faith. But that's not for me. Now, you ain't got no Bible nowhere to back that up with. That is a denominational doctrine that will take us to the grave. That's what we've been taught all of our life. And look at the people in the messages even got it. So scruple that when you mention before the foundation of the world that you was prayed through, oh, that's that two soul, and this soul was back there, and this soul, and they run it the other way and carry it away from you. They get it so far away from you one way just as much as an organization's got it before away from us. But the real Bible teaching of it is just what the prophet said. He said David didn't need to have a prayer meeting. He said he has prayed through for the foundation of the world. Where was he prayed through before the foundation of the world? When Jesus Christ, the Bible said, stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now we know that Jesus Christ was literally crucified 1900 and something years ago. You know, we know that's when he was literally nailed to a cross, that he laid down, gave up the ghost there, about 1900 and something years ago. But according to the Bible, God knew in his mind before the world ever begun that Jesus Christ would die on Calvary. So we're talking about God's mind now. Not an actuality that David was praying back before the world ever begun. But in God's mind, when Jesus died there at Calvary, David was prayed through. See, we've got to catch that. That's part of the lesson we'll see in a minute. We've got to catch that because we've got to see not some denominational form of us being back there. And boy, it just makes this old flesh just feel so good to think I was before the world. No, it's not that way. It's in the Word. You can't have faith in some kind of a feelings. We'll get to that in a minute and see about it. It wasn't the anointing that was doing it there. I'm talking about, we covered the other week where that Moses, 1 minute was anointed, and he said, the Egyptians you see today, you'll see them no more forever. But then what happened? That great anointing left Moses, and all at once you see Moses standing there saying, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And God said, why are you crying to me? Speak and move forward. Because God, in the mind, his mind, Moses was done prayed through before the world ever begun. What Moses had need of was in Jesus Christ before the world ever begun. All right, then it's not just for Moses and David and Samson and all like that. They, now watch the way I say it, and God help me to say it in the right way where you'll understand it. They couldn't take our place. Somebody here in the end time is going to have to catch the revelation from the Word and do what they could not do. Even though Joshua stopped the sun, he still died. Even though Moses, all the things he done, he still died and was carried away by pallbearers, you know, angels. Brother Brown said, I don't think he died, he just changed. But still, even in Enoch's translation, the Bible said no man hath approached to immortality yet, so nobody has went to that place that you and I are going to have faith to get to. Well, then what would we do now? If you could take every individual person in the Bible and tell how great faith they had. Read Why Christ Speak, where that Peter and the great faith he had to where that he walked out there and the man said, needing alms, he said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Reach down. See, didn't just say that and walk off. When he saw the man didn't move, read the message. See the perfect faith of why Christ speak. He said he reached down, the Bible says, and caught the man by the hand, lifted him up on his feet, and held him there. It didn't say 5 minutes or 30 minutes. There's no telling how long he held him. But he held him there until there was strength in the man's legs to stand. See, he just didn't speak something and just walk off. Well, bless God, I spoke that. And all he's done, he put it into action. But see, out of all of this, these people, it's in the Bible now. Out of all, everyone that's in this Bible. See, we get the idea, well, if I was just a Peter, oh, they can just see the rapture if we were all Peters or Pauls or Brother Branham or Moses or Elijah or something like that. But we are not them. And they are not here. So who's going to make the change? See, now we've got to catch it from the Bible. That's why it's so hard in this age and time to where it's at. Because you're not just dealing with living good and being good Christians. We ought to do that anyway. Luther had enough faith to do that. Wesley had enough faith to do that. Pentecost had enough faith to live a good life. That ought to have done be settled. That part's gone. We ain't even concerned. But what people wants to do is, as Brother Atlas said, live like the devil and die like Paul. You know, they want to just live like the devil all their lives. And then when it comes to dying, oh, I'm just the same. I'm going to heaven. Now, we know better than stupidity. That's just plain stupidity. That's the best words I can use. Speaking the Word we found the other day is based on forgiveness. If you don't believe that, read perfect faith. And see if that ain't the first thing the prophet said when he read the Scripture. The first thing he said when he read the Scripture on perfect faith to preach the message, he said, see, it's based on forgiveness, Mark 11. If you won't forgive, you can't be forgiven, as Scripture was reading the other day. But see, what I'm wanting us to see, those people couldn't take the change of the body. It don't matter how good a faith they had for the time they were living, they went to the grave. All right, then here we stand saying in our thoughts and letting those little things speak to us, well, if I was a Moses, then I'd have faith. Now, you want me to quote you a Scripture? You go out there and you talk to the denominational system today and see if they won't say this. They'll say, if I was back there when they killed the Lord Jesus, they wouldn't kill him. I wouldn't let him. Ain't that right? You go out and talk to them and see if they don't say that in essence. If I'd have been back there when Jesus was there, now brother, I'd have stood up for him. Did you know the Bible said they'll say that? The Bible said they will say if we had have been back there, they would have not done it that way. If you want the Scripture out of service, we'll get the concordance and look it up. If you don't believe it's in the Bible. They said if we was back there. I believe it was Jesus talking to them about at the tombs, talking about the sepulchre. You know, said, you're full of dead man's bones. They said, well, we'd have been back there. He said, if you'd have been back there, you'd do the same thing you're doing now. People rejecting the word now, if they'd have been back there when Jesus was on the earth, they'd have rejected the word. You'd have lived exactly like you are living right now if you'd have been back there when Jesus was here. Now you tell me you won't, I got the Bible for it. You can't argue with it because it's in the Bible. You would live identically the same way you're living right now. All your doubts, all your faults and failures, and all the things that you and I are doing in our life would be the same if the Lord Jesus was here. Now that's what the Bible tells us. But see, we've been taught that, oh, that looks good, don't it? That looks good in our old minds running around and around. If I'd have been back there with Jesus, they wouldn't have done what they done to him. Well, what about Jesus now? What about you stand on the word? Oh, well, he ain't the same today. Now, where's the Bible change on that? Because Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But see, what I'm wanting you to see, everybody there in the Bible, there's none of them could take your place. There was none of them could come to a place because the word for their day hindered them from coming. You know, the amount that was just given to the age like Luther and Wesley or something like that, or the Old Testament saints or the faith of the fathers, they didn't have the seals. All right, then, if that be so, then we can't lay down on, well, if I was a Moses, then I would have faith. Lay that out of your mind. Get that away from you. That's the thing that we've got to learn the lesson about. That's what we've got to see from the Word. And lay all that aside. That's contrary to the Word. Now, if you don't understand me, we'll go through another sermon again over and over and over until we catch it. See, we can't just say, well, if I would have been born like Moses, and they would have put me in a little ark and pushed me out into the waters, and God would have guided me, I'll tell you what so. I'll tell you a few things about my life and let you see whether God guided me or not to keep me from falling and getting killed and everything else. What about your life? Man told me here a while back, he said, the Lord had to be with me. He said, I walked through the jungles of Vietnam and said, every time He walked point man. These brothers in the service, they know what I'm talking about. I wouldn't even know it. I don't guess other than the guy that walks in front. But he walked point man, and that's generally the guy that gets killed. It's the point man because he's out there in front. He said, every time that I let somebody else take my place, he said, they got hurt, either killed or hurt bad. Said he walked through the water one time in the mud and the water. Said it was way up, I don't know, waist deep or something on him. He said he walked through that water and said the man behind him stopped him and showed him there was a booby trap, a wire strung in the water, sticking to a booby trap to blow him up. And he walked through that some way, and that never set off that trap, and he never hit the wire. Now, how'd he get by it, under it or over it? He said he walked straight across there in the water. It wasn't down in the water that he could step over it. It was up high, and that, he said, just struck him about waist high. See, we don't consider how God has watched over us. What kept you from getting tied up in all kind of things in your life that brought you to this hour here that you can look back at your life? What kept you from getting killed? Race these highways up and down all over the country around here, racing with people and all kind of things. What kept me from being killed? Well, that's just all we done. Crawled in swamps and everything else to pull a joke on somebody, just to pull a trick. Crawled through the grass with snakes running all over the place and everything else. Never even, no problem. See, we don't consider. We don't consider. Now, that don't make you saved. That don't change nothing. See, I ain't talking about that. But I'm talking about what the prophet said there on page 8 and 9. He said Moses was born with a gift of great faith. He said every person is born with that gift from the foundation of the world. Now, he said the word is put in, was in you from the foundation of the world. Now, we know it's only in the mind of God that it was put there. Because I didn't know A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or anything when I was born, did you? Well, was any word put in there? The word was put there after you, when you heard it. But according to the Bible, see, according to us, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. 1,900 something years ago, he's crucified. But according to the Bible, he was crucified before the world ever begun. Alright, then in me and you, there was something there. What was it? It was God's foreknowledge, not something there that, you know, God put something in this man and didn't put it in that one. That's two soul and that won't work. But there was something in your life. What caused you to be sitting here tonight and not somewhere else? You think God, by his foreknowledge, don't know all about that? When we know that a gnat, well, we had a lot of trouble with them around the house, but do you know that God knew every gnat that ever be in the world and every time it bat its eye? Now, that's God, ain't it? All them thousands of gnats we had swarming around us there for a few days called us something. I don't know. Maybe it's where I could get to say this tonight and you'd catch the point. But God knew every time that gnat had ever bat its eye. Because he knows all things. See, then in that, we can have confidence in him. Then Moses wasn't a peculiar person as we call him peculiar, was he? He was no more peculiar than we are. He's no more peculiar than me and you tonight. My daddy was 60 years old, my mother going through the change of life. That's hard for me to get here, wasn't it? Law of average, I wasn't supposed to be here. But yet that ain't gonna undo it. See, because God knew. By His foreknowledge, He knew all of that. Then we can't rely upon saying, if I was a Moses, if I'd have been born this way, if I'd have been born that way. Take what the Word says. The prophet says it different from that. He said you were born with that in there from the foundation of the world. What? In God's mind, He knew it. Then let's don't try to rely now upon that. Let's look at what Moses happened. Go back through it again, but to catch the lesson this time. See? Catch the lesson that he caught. Now that right there that I've been preaching on is part of the lesson. You'll see it in a minute. When it comes out, you'll see that's part of the lesson he caught. See, people say, well, why don't you just say, well, I just said the lesson. Now would you like to go home and do you know what the lesson is? You want to go home and quit like that, say a 15-minute sermon, and not know what you're doing? I mean, I know you don't, but I'm just saying that because that's the way people think. But now, let's just think now. Moses learned a great lesson right there. We found what it was in what happened to him. See? Now let's see what the lesson is that happened to him. We saw what happened to him was that he'd always waited on God. God would say, go do this. He'd go do that. He'd come back and he'd say, Lord, what you want me to do? And the Lord would say, go do that. He said, that thus saith the Lord. He said, yeah, that's thus saith the Lord. He'd go do it. He'd come out there, come up to this problem, put out a test before him, and he said, Lord, what must I do? He had just said, the Egyptians you see today, you'll see them no more forever, prophesied of the destruction of a nation, and then turned around to God and said, all he said was, Lord, what must I do? Waiting on God to give him an answer. Brother Branham said he should have known. Now read the book and see. He said he should have known that even his very commission, I've got it in my notes somewhere in here, about 35, 36, somewhere along in there, said he should have known that his very commission was thus saith the Lord. Said he should have known the very job he is called for was thus saith the Lord. All right, then me and you can't sit back and say, well, if the Lord would tell me. If there's one word in this Bible that points anywhere beside the end time, show me. Then the end time is right here in this Bible. It's thus saith the Lord. It'll be this way. It's got to be this way because God said it'd be this way. It's got to end this way because God said it'd end this way. All right, it's right there in the Bible then. You and I can take the Bible and stand on it. See, because we know that it points down, we ought to catch that. That's what Moses wanted. God wanted him to learn a lesson. But do you understand now what I brought out the other week, what he'd done? The anointing was on him. He prophesied, but then when the anointing left him, he turned back to a human and cried out and said, Lord, what must I do? The Lord said, quit crying unto me. Speak the word and move forward. All right, now, what do we see him learning? We see Moses learning a lesson that Joshua didn't have to learn that lesson. We are all put through tests. That's why I read that scripture. We are put through tests in our lives. Those tests are there for our perfection. Job wasn't put through a test to perfect God. God didn't need it. He was put through the test for his own perfection. When he come through the test on the other side is when he caught the great revelation that his Redeemer liveth and stood up and spoke that. All right, now there's tests that come each day in our lives. I was put through one recently that was the worst test I've ever been through. It just seemed that I couldn't see no end. But yet, I made a commitment one day in the woods while I was hunting. I'd hunt till 8 o'clock and these brothers ever hunt with me? No, I don't do that, but I'd hunt till 8 o'clock of the morning. I'd get off the stand, start walking around praying, trying to seek the Lord. Couldn't find nothing. But when the test, when I saw what was going on, I made this commitment walking out of the woods one day. I said, Lord, if you never meet me again, if you never heal me, if you never do anything, if you never speak to me again, if I never get another sermon to preach, whatever it is, Lord, I know you're still real. I know that you're God and that you change not, and I believe that you're with me because you promised me back yonder. He had done told me, said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't mean I just read it out of the Bible. I mean something in the inner man spoke to me one day as I was riding down the highway. I said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. See, then when I made that commitment, I come right out of the test, right over on the other side. All right, that was what I was put there for. See, I was put there. I failed the test then that I should have known right to start with to have made that commitment unto the Lord. I should have known that to start with and have said that to start with. It don't make no difference, Lord. I'll be with you if you'll be with me. And walked on. But see, I failed the test just like every man fails the test. When you're in the test, it's hard sometimes. Troubles and heartaches, things going wrong all around you. Cars breaking down, houses breaking down, all kind of things going on. Part of that could be a test. Part of it could just be a natural car wore out. You know, cars don't run a million miles, you know, unless it's just really excellent. But yet, in the test, it's where we catch something that will take us over. The reason that I was studying on this, I mean, thinking of this form of it, sure, Brother Woodby don't mind me mentioning it. He and I were talking about something, and I said, well, now, that's a test. I was trying to get a point across to him of what he was saying, that he was in a test, and that in that test, that I thought he had failed the test in doing something he shouldn't have done. Well, then, as I prayed about it and sought the Lord of what to say, I hadn't told him that yet, see. As I sought the Lord about it, it came to me about this about Moses. That Moses failed the test. And he and I were riding towards Gainesville one day talking about it. I said, Brother Woodby, it don't make no difference. If you can understand it, it was something he and I were talking about personally, because if I tried to explain it to you, most people would take it the wrong way. I had to wait until he and I were alone to talk about it, because it laid so close he could fall off the side. And I said, Brother Wood, it don't matter about the test. I said, even if I believe you failed the test, in the test, something will be revealed to you that will bring you to the place that you will catch it and you'll get what you're desiring. Because that's where it's at. That's why I can see in that scripture there that I read in there. That we'll go through a test. We'll look like failed the test. That's all right. Don't just say, well, I failed the test. I'm going to quit. No, something even if we do fail it. Something will be made known there in that test that you won't fail it the next time. Because he said with the temptation, he'll make a way that we'll be able to escape, that we may be able to bear it. Right, then something in that test will do that. Now what if you didn't go in the test? What if you didn't go in the test now? You say, well, boy, bless God, it'd be better if we just didn't go through these tests. You'd never get what you asked for. I challenge that on the scriptures. Let's see you would. You'd never get what you was asking for if you didn't fail the test. That looks funny, don't it? That's the reason I said I couldn't explain it. There's no need in me trying to explain it now. Because it looks like it's so contrary to the scriptures, it looks like it's totally out of the scriptures. It looks like I say, unless sin, that grace may abound. Paul said they said that about him. And he wasn't teaching that. Neither was I. But see, in your test now, you catch something in the test That will bring you, as I said to these brothers about the service. They didn't take you out and say, there's a 14-foot wall. Get over it and we'll go home. They put them through test after test after test after test. Why? Because in the test you get the strength to finally make the last wall. See, we've had to come this way to give us to the place to where that. What if it had went along when Brother Branham passed off the scene and a great revival just went among the people and they were just so much in love till they just started a revival and all of them had been in church ever since then in the services and just growing by the thousands and just millions coming into the message and just everybody growing. Oh, it looks like that had been it and we just all left earth and went up into glory when we got rapture and faith. Well, now where would you have got it at? The lilies formed in the valley. The lilies don't grow on the hillside. They grow in the valley. Where the muck, the mud, the slime, and everything like that, and they press their life until they come out, and when they do, there they are. Right out of the mud and slime and all. So there's got to be the test. Because in the test we catch it. That's what I'm talking about Moses. See, in the test we catch that. That Joshua and him, when they come to that place, they didn't have to go through that. Friend, I told you the other day, maybe if I warn you in the way that happened to me, you won't have to go through that. If you'll pay attention and do what is said there, what I'm trying to get across to you, maybe you won't have to go through it. Right, now, before we watch the lesson, let's just review what we're talking about now. When God told Moses, why Christ speak, you know, go on. What was he actually saying to Moses? In a moment's time, God brought the entire life, if you read the book, of Why Christ Speak. Brother Brandon says, God said to Moses, didn't I do this? Didn't I anoint you to burning bush? Didn't I do this? Didn't I call you? Didn't you go through this life? Wasn't you a peculiar child from birth coming up? Wasn't it the fact that your mother told you all about the Word? That was planted in, who he was to be, the deliverer. See, God brought that before Moses just in a flash. In other words, he's saying, well, don't you remember when I anointed you at the burning bush, sent you out for the job to be done? Don't you see all the Egyptians and all the things that's happened that you've just totally wiped out a nation down there? What was he wanting Moses to see? He was wanting Moses to see something there on his own life. See, not something, you know, me and you would probably think, and that's the way I used to think until I got to thinking on this subject. Well, the Lord just referred to your salvation, you know. Don't you remember when I called you down there? No, God didn't do that to Moses. He referred him to his entire life. And that's why I started off like that a while ago, because can't you remember things in your life that's a little peculiar? You mean you happen to be black-headed? You mean you just happen to wind up to be blonde-headed? You happen to have green eyes or blue eyes or something? Where did that come from? You might find a long string down through a family of black-headed children. You know, everybody's black. And all at once, they'll wind up to be a blonde-headed one in there. You scratch your head and say, well, now, where did that come from? But then you run the lineage all the way back. And you find out that grandmother or grandfather or great-grandmother or great-grandfather or somebody way back under was blind-headed. And it come all the way down to where you was at. See, then that is the foreknowledge of natural forms coming down. Well, then surely we can see that the reason we're sitting here tonight is that somewhere down through our life, God guided us. What made you marry a certain person where you'd be here? On the same order now. What made others that come down through there, through the life and the change and the opportunities that you have, why are they not here tonight when they seemingly are more spiritual, when they seemingly are more, have more Holy Ghost on them and can shout more and live better lives and be better people and seem to be just build up and call a message. Oh, we believe the message. We do. But all you got to do is just cross them and then out they go. But yet there's others that you can say what you want to. There's a lot of black people around Atlanta that I could say the word nigger to, and they just get so mad they couldn't stand it. But I've said it here, and I said, there ain't a nigger in the crowd. Well, you don't get mad at me saying that because you know what I've got in my heart. But see, they don't. See, where is it that you can do it? Then you go back in the Bible, and you find a little woman one time there that came to Jesus. And she desired something from the Lord, and he said, now, she was a Gentile. He turned to her. He said, it's not right. Now, watch. Boy, we'd get our feelings hurt if we had said to us what I'm fixing to say. The Lord said, told Elijah to anoint Elisha in his stead. Elijah just didn't go down there and grab old Elisha and slap it over and say, you're in my stead. I'm going off now. Now, he went down and he flipped him on and he just kept walking. Old Elisha jumped up, took off. Elijah tried to run Elisha off from then on. Check your Bible and see if he did. He tried to run him off. Said, you go back. He said, the Lord be with you, I'll never leave you. And then he said, now what can I do for you? He said, a double portion of thy spirit. He said, that's a hard matter, but said, if you see me leave, you can have it. Well, brother, you better believe Elisha never left Elijah from then on. Now, he wouldn't let him get away before he tried to run him off. But how come it is one person will come into the Word and accept it, the other person come and sit a while and seemingly more spiritual, more anointing, and then just go right on out the doors and leave you? It's all by foreknowledge. It's all that little thing I was talking about to start with that some have the gift of faith like Moses had it and some of them just don't get it. But now, what was God referring Moses to? His entire life. Birth, life, calling, commissioned him, sent him forth, destroyed a nation. And then you see Moses standing there crying when he really didn't need to. Now, with that in mind, think about a lesson that he learned. From that. What was the lesson then that went with him the rest of his life? And all of those after then looked back to Moses and saw what Moses caught there, and they caught it, and never a one of them failed. They wouldn't have one down through there after then it failed. Now, what was that lesson? What was that he caught? Because if we can't catch that, then we can't go. Brother Woodby the other day, yesterday, he said, I finally see. He said, I could never see you. Remember back in 79, I preached a seal up there at his church in 79. And I preached on the fourth seal. I said, I can see Brother Woodby from that seal. I said, I can't explain it, but I can see from that seal right there that there'll be people that can't have rapture and faith. You remember I preached it right here, that they couldn't have rapture and faith. They would have to die and go by the grave. He said, Brother Dale, he said, I didn't doubt you. He said, I talked to Bobby Woodruff and said, Bobby Woodruff said, I explained it to him a little bit what you said. He said, I can see that. People, there'll be people that will have to die and go by the grave. He said, I couldn't see that until my daddy died. And he said, I was sitting talking with Brother Richard and them up there one day about it. And he said, Brother Dale said that he could see under the seals that there'd be people that couldn't make the change and they'd have to go by the grave. He said, I see it. See, he waited all of that time wondering what I was really saying. He said, but now I see it. He said, because my daddy could never really rightly understand the seals and things. Well, see, if you can't understand the seals, you can't go. I mean, you may go by the grave. I ain't talking about that. We're talking about a rapture and resurrection. We're talking about a rapture. The ones who take the rapture will be standing on the Word. You watch it and you'll see it in the message tonight. Where they'll be standing at is where Moses caught that, and when he caught it, he never failed it again. You see him turn around? God said,
go.
He went. We've already preached to you, Moses didn't go on his own from then. Nobody in the Bible went on their own from then. God was with Moses. God was with Joshua. He's all down through that telling them what to do. But they caught a lesson. He caught a lesson, and every man then from then on caught it, and me and you can catch it because he caught it. God wanted Moses to see. Now watch it for just a minute. God wanted Moses to see that he was with him no matter what the circumstances. The Hebrew children down in the fiery furnace, they said, whether God free us from this or not, we don't know. But we won't bow down to your image. They walked right off into the fiery furnace. And just as they walked in, enough fire, the scripture said, struck them to burn the bindings off of their hands and never singed a hair on their head. Why? Because they knew that God was with them. Old Nebuchadnezzar went and looked down in there. He said, didn't we just cast in three? He said, yeah. He said, well, I see four walking around. See, God wants us to believe, whether we're anointed or not. That's the reason I was talking about that a while ago. Moses standing there anointed, and the next minute the anointing left him. He was crying like everything. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? God wanted Moses. It didn't make no difference whether there was an anointing there or whatever they was to be there. He wanted him to believe it. Now, I'm going to strike something here in just a minute. And you watch that anointing and see. You'll find out you can't depend upon something. You've got to get to the Word. I'll ask you ahead of time, how can you depend upon the anointing? Oh, bless God, I've got the anointing. I know all about it. The Bible says, try the Spirit, see whether they're of God or not. How are you going to try Spirit? Pentecostals look each other in the eye and shake hands and say, I'm trying your Spirit to see. People's made remarks and jokingly about slapping a man upside the face. I want to see if you're sanctified. Trying your Spirit. How do you try Spirit? If a great shining light came in here tonight, walked up here, and told us a whole thing of what was going to happen, what are you going to try that Spirit by? What did those men back there that Brother Brown spoke of that's recorded in history, that a great shining angel come up with a robe on and everything, walked before one of the men there and told him, said, bow down and worship me, I'm Jesus. And sat there and looked at him, Brother Branham said, wouldn't that have been Pentecostal bait? Pentecostal people, they'd have oil on their hands or anything like that. They'd just run the aisles and scream and holler if the Lord was with them. He said, wouldn't that have been Pentecostal bait? He said, but that man of God sat there and looked at him, said, after a while he picked up the inkwell and throwed it at him and said, get out of here, Satan. How did he know it's Satan? He said the Word. Watch, he looked him over. Everything was perfect. He said the Word says that we'll crown him one of these days, and there that one that was standing there before him had a crown on his head. He knew right then it wasn't Jesus. The Bible says try Spirit to see whether it's of God or not. How do you try Spirit? You try it by the Word. That's the only way you can ever try Spirit is by this Word. See what it says. There are many voices that talk to people. All kind of voices. But try it by the Word one time and see where the voice stands at then. God wants us to believe that He's with us. It don't matter where we're at or what we're doing. I've had experiences were that it didn't bother me. Now, I've had times when it scared me to death. Atlanta, we've stood on the porch and you couldn't see Jerry's house. It'd be so dark because there was a cloud going through and it blowed a tree down out on the highway. That's bigger rain. I stood right there. I wasn't no more afraid than that. She wouldn't either. She'd just stand there with me. We'd just stand there talking and the trees are just swaying. You couldn't see my neighbor's house 250 feet away. Wouldn't have scared at all. But now I have been out there when I'm scared to death. I have been there when the wind started rattling the side of that old trailer there at home and you could feel it vibrate a little bit. And I'd be scared. You ever been that way? Stood there in Gillsville one day when I saw them trees out there in the yard just bend over like that and touch the ground, stand back up. Stand in the door just watching them. Looked out there, I said, Figgy, there goes that building. It's blowed away. Building out there in Gillsville just blowed it over. Wasn't no more scared than nothing. But I have been out there when just a slight little wind come along and just scare me teetotally to death. What was the difference? It's when I believed the Lord was with me. Not when I felt Him. Not when I'd stand there and say, well, Lord, I know I'm safe because I feel Your presence. He wants us to believe that He's with us. No matter what comes or goes. Now watch this. You say, oh, if I could just feel the anointing. Now that's where Moses failed at. So you can see the test he is in, and he failed right there. He said, God, if You'd just bring back that anointing that was on me a while ago and let me do what I said I'd do when I prophesied is done, you're doing exactly the same thing he was doing. Oh, if I just felt the anointing. Now where are you going to put that in the Bible at? I've got something over here I want to say on the next page, but I want to ask you now, where are you going to put that in the Bible to say, oh, if I just felt the anointing? Well, I'll just go ahead and say it now. We won't have to wait. The anointing's on your spirit. The anointing is not in your soul. There's not one dab of feeling in your soul. There is, because it's God which is love. If you're born again, and if it's not, it's the devil, which is hate. But there's no feelings there. You have five senses of the flesh. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. You have five senses of the spirit, which is reason, imagination, memory, conscience, and affections. And all. But there's not one feeling in the soul. It's either faith or doubt. One or the other. It's not faith and doubt. It's either faith or doubt. One is in your soul. You don't have no feeling there. But now just think. The Bible says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well now, Lord, I'll believe that word if I can just feel You. Now, Lord, I know that's the word, but I just don't feel Your presence. Now, I want you to just think about something, because this is part of the lesson that we're talking about. And you'll see that it was what I was preaching a while ago as the lesson. God wants us to believe Him if we don't feel nothing, see nothing, taste nothing. Now, watch. If we don't see it, feel it, taste it, hear it, smell it, have memory, reason, conscience, affection, because those are senses. Now, I'll quote these to you because it wasn't in the record. I didn't think it would take this long to get this part. But on page 6 of Perfect Faith, paragraph 27, Brother Branham says, anything your senses declares is no more faith. Yeah, but if I could just feel it, Lord, I'd believe it. Anything your senses declares is no more faith. Faith is a sixth sense. Anything you can see is a scientific fact. I can see that piano right there. That's a scientific fact. That's no longer faith. I don't have to worry about one. Wood, you can smell. You can hear it. You can feel it.
You could bite it and taste it. That's a scientific fact. I don't have to have no stand here and say, Lord, I wish I had faith for a piano. That's already there. That's scientific fact. Then there's no faith involved there. Where it would be is me to like look over here and say, there's an organ. You say to me, sir, I don't see no organ. I don't hear no organ, feel no organ, or smell no organ or nothing. I say, yeah, but you're not looking the way I'm looking. I'm looking at the promise. God promised me an organ. See, I'm looking at something by faith. You're looking at it with natural abilities. God wants us to get away from them unnatural abilities. They're fine as long as they're on the Word. He wants us to believe Him. How do you think Peter got to walking on the water? You think he's walking on water? Let's see you do it. That ain't being mean. That's just telling the truth. Let's see you do it. He couldn't walk on water. H2O won't hold you up. I don't care how much salt it's got in it. Oh, I guess it was so salty out there he could walk on it. You know, you can swim better in salty water than you can in other water because it's heavy. It'll hold you up, won't it? But it still won't hold you up and let you walk in it. I don't care if you had a size 14 shoe. But Peter was walking on the Word. He said, Lord, if that be thee, he didn't just jump out of the boat, take off, did he? Boy, I'm coming out there, where you at, Lord? He said, Lord, if that be thee, bid me come. Jesus said, come. What was holding Peter up? That one little word. That little word. He was walking on the Word, wasn't he? How did Enoch walk off the world and was not because God took him? He just walked with the Word. Come to a place, he just changed. Gone. God wants us to believe He's with us. Brother Branham says that the church, he said this on page 8, he said, the church said, that's where it's at. He said, this is where Branham Tabernacle's at. Read Perfect Faith. He said, here's where Branham Tabernacle's at. He said, we've got faith. He said, we've got it. We've got the Holy Ghost. You get it the way he said. He said, we've got the Holy Ghost. He said, but we don't have faith to move it. See, that's our trouble. We've got the Holy Ghost. We that are born again have the Holy Ghost. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. Watch that when you get in the fourth seal with that scripture. But yet God wants us to believe that He's here with us when we can't feel Him because your senses works in that realm and the anointing is on your spirit. The anointed ones at the end time, Matthew 24:24 said in the last days they'd be false Christ. Now it didn't say in the last days they'd be false Jesuses. The word Christ means the anointed one. They would be people who would have the genuine Holy Ghost on their spirit and their soul still be lost. That's why I tried my best to preach back yonder as much as I knew about it. The only way you know whether you're born again or not is by the Word. You can't go by great shining angels you met, great feelings you had, great things that happened, big visions you see in it, you can't go by none of that. All that's fine if it's in the Word. You can have all of that and deny this Word. Where are you? Those preachers that's out there tonight, all across the land in those denominational churches, they are anointed to preach. I know people that were homosexuals and everything, but yet could stand before a congregation and preach the gospel, even look at A.A. Allen, a drunk, an alcoholic, but yet stand and preach to a group of people and see them healed as literally thousands of people healed under the man's ministry and him an alcoholic. Brother Moat saw a boy's foot grow about 3 to 5 inches one time when A.A. Allen prayed for him. And there's no trick to that. The foot was sitting there and went out. That was it. The anointing can be on a man and he can preach and have everything else, do all them things. But what about when the anointing leaves you? Now, there's where you're at. There's where Moses was at. It's fine when the anointing's there. We all love that, don't we? We all love the feelings of the Holy Ghost when he's with us, don't we? But what about when the anointing is not there? Well, I guess the Lord's left me. Now, where's the Scripture at? As Brother Woodby quoted that this morning, it don't say, yea, though I walk through the dark valley of the shadow of death. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll have no fear. Why? Because thou art with me. You've got to have light to make a shadow. It's not the dark valley of the shadow of death. It's the valley of the shadow of death. So when you come down to death, what is it? He's there. Pretty bad day when Moses come to his death, wasn't it? He stepped upon a rock. The same rock that had followed him all down through the wilderness, which was Jesus Christ. Moses looked over and saw that rock, stepped upon it. And Satan tried to argue with the angels later and find out where he was buried at and couldn't find him. He stepped upon the rock that he followed all of his life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll have no fear, for thou art with me. See, there's got to be something there with you to cast a light off to make that shadow. So don't never think he leaves you. Brother Brown says when we do something wrong, this is the best way to explain it. He said when we do something wrong, he said the Holy Spirit has to leave us. He said he'll take his flight and go out on a limb, but said don't worry about it, he ain't too far. A brother Smith, I think was his name in the Hebrew book, come to the place that there's something happened to the man that just, he went wrong, and when he did, he went and got this man to get him some liquor, you know, and all, and he told me he wouldn't go and get him none. And he said, I ain't going to preach no more. And he just quit preaching. He quit everything. Said, if I loved the Lord, I wouldn't do that. And the Lord took him off the scene a couple of weeks later. Brother Brown said, God won't let you mar his name. He didn't leave the man. He just had to take him with him. See, the Lord wants us to catch that. That's the lesson Moses caught. Was that anointed or not? Feelings or no feelings? Oh, I'm sick. If I could just feel that just sweep over me, you know, I'd know I was healed. What about the Word? The Word says, by His stripes I'm healed. Are we going to stand on emotion or the Word? Oh, if I just had the anointing. All right. What if you've got it? What if it's just on your spirit? I told you, you don't have no feeling in your soul. It's either love or hate. Now, them's feelings. You might call it that way. But there's not nothing there to feel with. You have no memory, no reasoning, no conscience, no affections. No see, no taste, feel, smell, or hear in there. It's either the Word or it's Satan. That's why Brother Brandon, watch him always when he comes down. Soul, germ, seed, and everything takes it right to the Word every time. So it's either the Word in your soul because that's what your soul is. But just think now. You can have that anointing, all them feelings, and still be lost. God wanted Moses to catch that. That irregardless of the feelings, he was still there with him. I'm sure he didn't feel too good, and he looked out and seen the Egyptians coming that way. I don't think Joshua felt too good when he looked around and saw them enemies scattered that way. When he looked, he said, if they get back together, we're going to have trouble. Oh, I'll just stand here a while and pray and wait till the Lord gives me a good feeling. No, one day he's walking down through there. He just crossed over Jordan heading into towards the walls of Jericho, and when he did, he walked down through there and he looked out there, and there stood a man with a sword drawn. Well, I guess I better stop right here and pray and ask the Lord what to do. He just pulled his sword. He said, "You for us or against us?" He said, "I'm neither one." He said, "I didn't come to take sides with nobody." He said, "I'm the captain of the Lord's host. I come to take over." But now listen. Think on that now. If you don't get nothing else out of the message, think on the lesson Moses was taught from that God will, because that's what he wants us to believe. How do you think Jesus, read perfect faith. You can read the message. I don't have to read it for you. You'll get more out of it by reading it yourself. But read where that Jesus knew who he was by the word. It wasn't the great anointing on Jesus. You think he was, all that was going on. Who do you think it was when the anointing left him in the Garden of Gethsemane? I got the prophet's words where it said it left him. Then what do you think he was when he died? He was still God when he died. See, anointing or no anointing. I hope you understand me. I'm catching the scriptures as I go with these messages I'm trying to preach, because I'm just trying to study the message and just go and not try to get a bunch of books and put them all together like I generally do in teaching to you. I'm trying to just come up here and let this, as Brother Brown said it, write down the notes of what the Lord gave. Come and let the Lord then speak to you what he'd have to say. Those scriptures, I ain't even got them down, none of them here, none of these notes. Check all the last ones if you want to compare my notes with it, see if there's scriptures written down there, those things. Come here and let the Lord pick the scriptures as he goes. Because if it's script, if it's right, it's revelation, if it ever scripture. But Jesus relied upon what the Word said he was. The church must have faith in the Holy Ghost. I might have given the wrong page while I go on page 8, but I know it's on page 10 because I'm looking at it now. Jesus relied upon what the Word said he was. When he died, do you realize he is dependent on one scripture? Thou not leave his soul in hell, neither I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. When he died and they crucified him, he was dependent upon that word to bring him out. The anointing, oh, that's fine. We love it. But when they put a gun to your head, you might not do too much shouting one of these days. See, then it might change things. But then you'll have to say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over." Look right down at the end of it. Paul walking down through there and said, "Grave, where is your death? Where is your sting? And grave, where is your victory?" You know what he, where he was going when he said that? To get his head cut off. He was laughing at death when he was walking toward it. That's where me and you got to come to. The Word brings us to a place. See, all right, now where did we get to the other day? If you abide in me, my Word abide in you. Ask what you will. We found that it's no longer you asking, it's the Father in you doing the asking. Then who was it in Moses doing the asking? Who was it in Moses that was trying to get things straight? Who was it in Moses that was trying to get him to believe? You've got to base it upon what the Word says and no feelings whatsoever. Brother Brown said that's one of the mysteries in the end time is to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without a sensation. Now, he didn't say without an experience, because you've got to have an experience. A woman having a baby sure has an experience. But she can be put unconscious and have no sensation and still have the baby. This don't record, does it? But she has an experience. Well, then just think now. Moses, God said, it's on page 36 now, we get to it. God said to Moses, "Haven't I been with you all the time?" He said, "Yeah, but is that thus saith the Lord?" He said, Moses should have known that the very job he was on
was thus saith the Lord. Can we say that tonight? Can we say the job we're on tonight is thus saith the Lord? If we can't, we better go home and talk to the Lord. We better learn a little lesson. God showed Moses that lesson, and he referred to it later in Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14, when he said, "This commandment this day is not hidden from thee." It's not over the sea that one should have to go there and get it, bring it to you. But said, it's nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The psalmist, Moses writing that, the apostle Paul knew the lesson had been taught. And he saw it in Romans 10, 6 through 11, when he said, "Faith speaketh on this wise, say not, who shall ascend into heaven to bring down from above, and all that." But he said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart. He said, and in thy mouth, the word which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that he hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe it. See, because we saw that it's not you asking. Now watch. Told you it's on the seal, and we're trying to end it up. The first seal reveals the one true and living God. The second seal reveals the word promised restoration to the bride. The third seal shows the word being restored to the church, and the church standing there as John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God," making us a part of that Word. And if my Word abide in you, and you in me, then ask what you will. You'll find another one besides that one where it says, "The Father dwelleth in you. He doeth the asking." I gave it the other day, page 21, "What the Holy Ghost is given for." It's on page 13 of Perfect Faith also. It's not you doing the asking. Now listen. You don't see one of them. Now watch. You don't see one of the persons of David, Joshua, any of them ever saying, "Lord, is that thus saith the Lord? You want me to do that?" You don't see a one of them saying, "Lord, if I could just feel your anointing on me right now, I'd just go do that." You see them, every one, walking forward to their objective. I'd rather now think on this. I had rather be a David and bitterly fail and walk toward my enemy than to sit down and not go nowhere. I had rather be up out there in the valley facing Goliath and be as the three Hebrew children that says, "We don't know whether God will deliver us or not, but I'll take my stand with the Word and march forward toward the objective because the lesson's been taught me." You say, "Yeah, but what if it kill you?" I sure don't want to be a coward and get cut in the back. Anyone that ever knowed me in the natural, I didn't run. I don't want to be that way in the spiritual. I want to be man enough to just walk toward the objective whether I lose my life or not, whether I make the rapture or not, and have to go by the grave and be one of them that don't have enough faith to make a change, whether I have to do that or not. Let me walk toward that. And if God never heals me, if He never touches me again, if I never feel the anointing again, if I never do none of those things, let me still walk toward that rapture. Let me walk in the Word until me and the Word becomes one. And then He can come on the scene and I won't cry and say, "Lord, what do I do?" But I'll just look at Goliath and say whether the Lord delivers me or not. If you kill me, then you'll have to do it, me coming that away. The reason I say that, the next message, the Lord willing, if we don't get another message, I'm trying to do what the Lord leads me, you'll see Satan is revealed 1, 2, 3, 4 seals, and you'll see that he's nothing. And that's what your fourth seal takes you to. He's just a bluff. We've let him do us this way all this time. Now don't go out there, as Brother Woodby said one time, it's a good point. Don't go out there and just say, Satan, I'll just take you on. Bless God, I got all kind of faith. Just about the time you do that, you're fixing to hit you back. Now don't be stupid. I'm not talking about stupidity, I'm talking about honesty. We found it's the Lord in us doing the talking. It's the Lord in us telling us what to do. When the Lord tells you to, just walk out and face Satan. Just stand there. He ain't nothing but a bluff. Brother Brown said, one of these days you'll see Satan ain't nothing but just the garbage, just something along the way. Now, as I said, don't go out there tonight and run down the highway and say, Satan, I'll call your bluff. You're fixing to get it. The Bible said that Satan's wiser than Daniel. Surely he knows a lot about us and how to do things. Daniel was the wisest man of his time. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm trying to get us to believe what's in us. Believe what the Word says about what's in us. And then we can stand. Let's stand together. Father, we ask you that these words would sink down into the hearts of your people. And Lord, may the people see that we must believe that you are with us, whether we feel you or not, whether we see you or not, whether we smell you, hear you, or anything, Lord. But just believe that you're here. Just believe that your presence is with us. And then when we do that, we feel you just sweep down over the group and just be there as a Father that loves his children. Lord, if the people can just see what we're talking about, let them believe who they are and where they stand, no matter what the anointing or anything is. Let them see. Then when we see that, Lord, can we see that Satan's just a squatter on our territory? And you can rout him off. Guide us now. You promised your word wouldn't return unto thee void, but it would accomplish that which it sent forth to do. In Jesus' name. Let's just sing a hymn if anyone has a need. I know it was a blood. I know it was a blood. I know it was a blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I know it was a blood for me. It was Emmanuel's blood. It was Emmanuel. Can you believe the Lord's with you?
It was Emmanuel's blood for me.
David, the psalmist, said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll have no fear, for thou art with me. One time he said it like this. He said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. Well, then surely we can believe that the Lord's with us. Do you see the lesson Moses had to be taught? And that would teach us a lesson if we'll believe it. Just stand there and let the Lord bring that down through our understanding, that we've got to believe he's with us regardless of what goes on. See, to believe he's with us. Then, when we believe it, he'll be there. God is not just... See, Satan's not just something of thoughts of your mind. There's churches that teach that.
that Satan's just the dirty thoughts of your mind. And God's just the good thoughts of your mind. They teach that Satan just ain't a, he ain't even a person. Or he is. Be careful calling his bluff, because he is rough. He'll put you flat on your back. You'll find out that you ain't exactly where you think you are. But what you've got to do is take the word and say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You remember when Brother Branham, that first time that he had any experience with that, and that little girl had come in, you know, used to dance, and she went to the dance hall, you know, and said, well, I'll go out there on the dance floor and talk to some of them about being a Christian. And he said that's where she made her mistake. And then when she did, she come back to him. First thing she knowed, she's out there on the dance floor in the arms of a man dancing. And when she come back to herself and come to him, he cast that off of her. When he did, he said it was just, now just her going to a dance floor and dancing like that in the arms of a man. He described that as a big, black, hairy, boogery monster of a thing come out of that girl when he cast it out. And he said, headed right straight toward him. He said, Lord, said, I plead the blood. He didn't want it on him. Then, children, you think that the things that you go around and do is not something that bothers you? All things are spirits. You say, oh, it don't bother me. This don't bother me. Well, why does everybody go around now saying, jingle bells, jingle bells? Oh, that don't bother me. Well, then why are you singing that? It's the spirit that's on everybody. And we get to sing spirit. Now, there might not be nothing wrong with singing jingle bells. I ain't talking about that. I'm just telling you by illustration what those things do. So just watch them. And you get them spirits on there, and you got to deal with them. But just pray one for another. Remember that we are the bride of Jesus Christ. Pray for Violet. Just remember that to pray for her, that that blood clot, when I talked to her today, they said the doctor had said the blood clot was dissolving. It's in one of her lungs, and it started dissolving. You know, they give her blood thinner to dissolve it, but that's dangerous also. Because if they dissolve that and it comes loose too quick or something, it can shoot right to her heart, cause a heart attack. It can shoot to her brain, cause a stroke. You have to still be careful. So just pray for her. Yeah? As we dismiss, remember her. Because we need to pray one for another. Might be your turn next. You say, oh, I'm immune. No, you're not. It might be your turn next. You pray for me, I pray for you. We all pray for each other, because it might be my turn next to have to go through a great test. Come out of it for the Lord. Father, dismiss us from one another with love and grace. Bless our sister yonder in the hospital and just deliver her from this sickness. Take care of her through the time of the dissolving of the blood clot. We believe your word. We ask you to guide each one. Bless our brothers and sisters everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus. Just with you. Don't forget, we have a new book now. Child of